the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. I get a little concerned that I'm the one who has to come in after those very profound quotes that we get from Dr. Myberg, Howard. It's like a hole that you push me into every morning.
You know, only because I think you can handle it. All right. So, quite a few things to talk about. It is a Shavuot, of course, tonight, but we'll get there. Israel sent an emergency mission flight to the Sudan in an attempt to try and save the life of a person with COVID-19. Amazing story. Tell us about this.
Well, this is an amazing story because it's the most unlikely story that you could ever imagine. But apparently on Monday, a plane took off from Ben Gurion Airport on its way to Khartoum, which of course is the capital of Sudan. On board, there was a medical staff, there was equipment, medicines, all for the treatment of coronavirus, as well as some senior Israeli official who had been dealing with Sudan relations. Now, we do know that there had been a thawing in relations with Sudan, and there was a meeting that was held last year in pursuit of some diplomatic relations between Israel and Sudan. And apparently the person who is considered to have been the architect of this thawing in relations is a particular political advisor to the Sudanese president. And she was the person who had become ill with coronavirus. And this person was so closely associated with those diplomatic relations that Prime Minister Netanyahu decided that he would dispatch this emergency flight to Khartoum in order to pick her up and bring her to Israel for treatment for COVID-19. By the time the plane arrived in Israel, unfortunately, her situation was such that there was no possible way that she could have been flown to Israel. And so the team were on the ground in Khartoum actually trying to treat her for the virus. Unfortunately, it was all to no avail, and she passed away as a result of coronavirus. And so the whole emergency mission was in vain and unfortunately didn't succeed. But I thought that the fact that the Israeli government decided to dispatch this emergency flight with treatment and staff and medication equipment on board was just an indication of how important this person actually was, by the name of Gada Al-Dam. So the name is really unfamiliar to all of us. None of us have ever heard of her name, but apparently a very, very important person in the whole issue of trying to develop diplomatic relations with Sudan.
Incredible. Really, really amazing. And we keep seeing the fact that Israel just does incredible work all the time. Tell us about Miri Regev.
Well, yeah, Miri Regev is now our new Minister of Transportation, previously Minister of Culture and Sport. She's a person in the Likud who's considered to probably be the closest that you can get to Prime Minister Netanyahu. And she is well known for being outspoken, more outspoken than is usual for Israeli government officials and members of Knesset. And yes, there was no exception when she decided to open up about her thoughts, considering that Benny Gantz is due to take over as prime minister in the rotation process due to take place in 18 months from now. And she was doing this interview with Yediot Ahronot, which is due to be published later today sometime. And apparently she spoke out saying that she felt that Benny Gantz is not ready to become prime minister, and that he is endangering Israel's security because of the fact that he has his phone apparently was compromised by Iran, and she feels that with the Iranians having got some information from his phone, that is simply puts Israel at risk because he is open, therefore, to some extortion as a result of this information that they might have gathered about him. And therefore, he is definitely not well placed to become prime minister in 18 months' time during the rotation process. And she was, held nothing back in her attack on Gantz in her attack on his qualification to become prime minister. Having said that, she then went on to say, well, He has another year and a half to wait, and let's see whether he can learn from the best in the business to become prepared for the role, was her kind of final parting shot on this. Now, there are those people who are wondering whether this is Miri Regev speaking or whether this is perhaps somebody else speaking through Miri Regev. And, of course, the conspiracy theorists are saying that this is really Prime Minister Netanyahu already beginning his campaign to try somehow to interrupt the rotation process and to ensure that when 18 months comes around and that rotation is due to take place, that the situation at that time will be such that Benny Gantz will not be in a position to take over as Prime Minister, and so effectively that Prime Minister Netanyahu will simply continue in the job. That's purely conspiracy. There is absolutely no evidence to support that whatsoever. But, of course, some people who have known a thing or two over the years about how these things work feel that, you know, that's quite a credible theory that could come around.
Zanati, I think this message is for you from Clive. He says, your bias against Netanyahu is another joke. Zanati, that's, I think, for you. There's Zanati was sitting and minding her own business. But that was Clive, I don't know why.
Just for my headlines.
I don't know. I'm assuming I have no idea. All right. No,
well, I mean, we can all have our views about Prime Minister Netanyahu. I think the truth of the matter is that in the first instance, he has the support of more people in this country than anybody else supported. So, you know, that is clear democratic process. Having said that, he does have legal cases to answer. He has his weaknesses, he certainly has his strengths, and there can be absolutely no doubt that no matter what he does from here on out, he has made a massive contribution to the State of Israel. Absolutely. Nobody can argue about that whatsoever. It's unfortunate that those contributions are being somewhat clouded now by current events. Mm.
So, yeah, my view is probably quite similar, and it's complex. I don't have a strong feeling for or against him. I think he's done an incredible job in many areas. I think he's been a phenomenal prime minister at times that Israel faced real difficulties. I think he's been brilliant for the economy, but I think that he hasn't allowed growth of other leaders to be successfully implemented under his watch, which I think is very problematic. And I think that it is time for him and his wife and his son to move on. There's time for fresh leadership in Israel, and it doesn't mean that he's been bad. The cases are cases that needs to be determined, but I still believe, and as you said, Anthony, the whole point of this is that people are entitled to their own view, and whether a view that has some negative is biased or not, well, obviously, those are just words. The point is that we're all entitled to a view.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the one point that I often raise and continue to raise is that it's interesting to me that in the United States, they limit the term of the president to 8 years, maximum of 8 years. You can be elected twice, 2 4-year periods, 8 years. That's the maximum. And there is so much logic and so much sense to that a particular style of leadership. Because once the president gets to the end of his 8 years, he knows that he has no possible way of continuing, and therefore he is forced to think about successors and who will take over from him and what his legacy will be after his 8 years. Now, you know, we can argue against that particular style of leadership as well, but I think that there's a lot to be said in favor of it.
Interesting. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. An Israeli mathematician has been awarded the coveted Shaw Prize. An amazing story, this.
It is an amazing story because it's not only about some really, really talented individuals. There were actually the Shaw Prize is a very, very well-known mathematical prize, and it's actually been initiated from Hong Kong, actually, by a family, well-known family in Hong Kong who've donated the money, but it's become an internationally known mathematical award. And this year, for the very, very first time in the history of the Shaw Prize, an Israeli mathematician will share the Shaw Prize. And the Israeli mathematician is Professor David Kajdan. He's the professor of maths at Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He shares his prize with Professor Alexander Baylinson from the University of Chicago. And the prize is awarded to them for their huge influence on and profound contribution to representation theory, as well as many other areas of maths. Now, when we say many, many other areas of maths, we really mean that, because these guys have had influence on arithmetic geometry, K-theory, conformal field theory, number theory, algebraic and complex geometry. These are all terms that, you know, left me behind a long time ago. Group theory and algebra more generally, they've had a massive contribution to the development of mathematics in general, but in particular for their contribution to representation theory. It's interesting that this professor, David Kajdan, was actually born in Moscow. And he earned his PhD from Moscow State University before he emigrated to the United States. So he was he had a position at Harvard University for a number of years before he emigrated to Israel. He's been professor of mathematics at the Hebrew University since he came in 2002. A religious Jew, married with children, four children, and obviously making a huge contribution not only to Israel, to mathematical studies in Israel, but of course mathematical studies around the world. So we're really proud of him. It comes alongside Hillel Furstenberg, who of course won the Abel Prize, which is the Norwegian Academy of Science prize for mathematics, which is considered to be the sort of the equivalent of the Nobel Prize for maths. These awards come with huge amounts of money, $1 million here or there. But of course, I think it's the prestige of the award and the pride that we have in them that counts more than the money.
Incredible. Before I let you go, let's just talk about Shavuot. It is Shavuot this evening. In a rare case, Israel, like South Africa, is observing 2 days because it goes directly into Shabbat. Obviously, this year a little bit different with COVID, although things have eased. What does Shavuot look like this year?
Well, Shavuot is looking a lot better than people thought it was going to be, and actually a lot better than Pesach was a full 7 weeks ago. We've obviously counted our 49 days now since Pesach and Shavuot. The restrictions on prayer services have been lifted somewhat, whereas there was talk about 50 people being able to pray together. Now, apparently, up to 100 people are allowed to pray together, and even indoors. So that's a new lifting of restrictions, and so obviously there will be more people at the Kotel, at the Western Wall, praying in the early hours of tomorrow morning than we thought originally. Of course, it comes with the traditional cheesecake. What would a Jewish festival be without having some food associated with it? Lots of dairy products, lots of cheesecake, and of course the significance of the reading of the Book of Ruth, and of course the all night staying up tonight for the Tikkun Leil Shavuot, which has become so traditional and so influential in so many people's lives. So unfortunately, not much more time to talk about Shavuot other than to wish you guys a Chag Sameach, a Shabbat Shalom. And we look forward to chatting about hopefully some good things again on Monday morning.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom to you.